It's sure good to see you this morning. Amen. Appreciate you being in the house of God. And you know what? It's good to see folks back. I know some folks have been back. We got a lot of folks that are still out trying to get in those last couple of weeks of vacation time while they can get them in. But it's good to see everybody back. Good to see Mr. and Mrs. Dillon back here, Marshall and Kitty. Good to see them back. Amen. And glad to have them back. And several of you folks that have not been here in a while, good to see you back. Good to see you here in the house of God on Sunday morning. Ms. Amajean, good to see you today. Amen. Appreciate you getting to be here. Good to see you. All right. I want you to turn this morning to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. As I was teaching a lesson this week, I had another song picked out for this morning, but I kept thinking about this little song, His Eye is on the Sparrow. And I know He cares for me. Amen. And boy, I tell you what, sometimes you don't know that, you just don't think about the Lord. If he knows anything that's going on in your life or anything, the pressures that you're going through. But He does, folks. He really does. I'm so thankful that He knows that. Our lesson today in this series from Staying on Course is entitled Photo Radar in Use. I don't know how many of you have ever had that situation where you've had the photo radars catch you. My wife had some problems with that one time, but she got to the point they couldn't catch her anymore. But she got called out here one week, frustrated, right here on, I guess that's Malcolm, going through those stoplights there near where the Starbucks is now. Just past that, there's a set of stoplights there, and there is a camera there. I don't know if you know that or not. My little detector goes off every time I go by there and lets me know there's a camera there. And she had gotten frustrated one time waiting for people to move, you know, just get on through there. And she went through that light just as it was turning. It was already yellow. And evidently it turned red and she went through it. And they sent a picture to our house. And she said, well, that must have been you. I don't do that. So I looked at the video and kind of honed in on the driver's side there, and it wasn't me. And it was $75 worth of ticket. $75 they send you for that. So, but you know what? There are. It was some long-haired guy, little skinny long-haired girl. But anyway, I'm thankful today that God has His eye on things, and that God is always aware of what we're going through. And you know what? This verse, our theme verses here today from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. It said this. It said, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. As Paul wrote this letter, he wrote it for a purpose. And he wrote it to encourage these folks and to let them know that God still had everything under control. And folks, in our world today, it seemed like, man, everything is out of control. Nonsense is out of control. The fact of folks just not thinking straight is out of control today. It's just unbelievable. But I want you to remember this one statement. And it is simply this: nothing escapes God's radar screen. Amen. Nothing escapes it. Neither the ones that are doing bad and doing things against those who love the Lord. And most importantly, I want you to understand that nothing that you and I do for the Lord escapes His radar screen. He knows what's happening. Last week we saw how that the Apostle Paul had given specific assignments. He gave specific commands to that group of believers there in Thessalonica so that they might continue to grow for the Lord, so that they might grow up spiritually and they might prosper in all areas of their life. And you know, as I looked at this thing, we saw in the first 10 verses or so of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, We saw how that he gave them specific commands in regards how to treat and to respect the leaders of their church. And remember all that they had done for them. How they had encouraged them. How they had been faithful to preach the word of God unto them. These leaders had suffered a lot of persecutions as well for their stand for God. And Paul tried to help them to remember that the troubles and trials they were going through was nothing in comparison to what God had for them in heaven. But he wanted them to respect those leaders. We saw in verses 14 and 15 how that we're to treat others amongst the congregation, those that are unruly, those that were feeble-minded. You remember that last week? The feeble-minded and the weak. And they were to be patient with all men. Now, you know what brings patience, don't you? The Bible said in the book of Romans chapter 5 that tribulation worketh patience. But when God gives patience, hope is a fruit of that patience. Experience is a fruit of that working of tribulations and patience in a person's life. And God was using these things to train them. We saw also how that in verse 15 they were to see that none render evil for evil unto any man. What does that mean? It means that you don't say to them, I don't get back, I get even. Okay? You don't do that. You know, that's not what God would have us to do. But ever follow, verse 15, that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And we see there how that Paul commanded them to learn through the Word of God how to respond to folks that hurt you. Listen, you can react or you can respond. And reaction is often not good. It causes problems both with your testimony and with the testimony that we bear for Christ. Listen, I've seen Christians want to sue other Christians for things that they do. That ought not be, folks. That ought not be. There's a way the Bible teaches how that we're to do things. And that is not one of the ways that we do that. Listen, there are people that say, well, they've treated me this way, so I'm just not going back to church. Well, you know what? What good does that do you? You know what? If somebody wants to act like a fool, okay, and they act stupid, that's their testimony. But you don't need to ruin yours because of their bad testimony. Amen? I just get tired of folks doing that. It's almost like they're looking for an easy way to get out of living for God. That's what it looks like. And folks, we don't need to do that. God has been too good to us to quit. God has been too good to us to act like the world or act like we used to act before we got saved. And you know what? We all get frustrated. Good night. We all get frustrated. I'm married, got children, and a dog. We all get frustrated. Amen? We all get frustrated. But you know what? God has been good. Through it all, God has been good. And God is faithful. And folks, I want to be quite honest with you this morning. It's a very difficult thing to trust God while we live in this flesh so that we don't ruin our testimony before others that need to know about Christ. Sometimes the devil makes it so much easier for us to just get. I talked to somebody yesterday, and they were so frustrated with the circumstances in their lives. And this person says that they're a Christian, and they were cussing at me every breath. I mean, it just seemed like, man, it was not good. And I said, listen to me, just stop right there where you're at. If you proclaim to be a Christian, you need to shut your mouth and quit talking like that. I got frustrated too because I don't want to hear that stuff, especially from the lips of somebody that wants to say that they're saved. You just don't do that. And folks, it gets very frustrating. And this life is frustrating. The devil wants to make you frustrated. But folks, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we can't let the devil trick us and to ruin our testimony. You know, I'm sure that the Apostle Paul, He didn't have the New Testament canon of scriptures that we have today. But he had the Old Testament scriptures that are still good today. And I thought about this verse as I was studying on this lesson. I thought about this verse from Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 through 22. And you make a note of this. Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. Solomon wrote here. He said, "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink." Now, why do you do that? The rest of the verse tells you why. It said, "For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." Amen. Listen, you treat them in a godly manner, and God's going to take care of the rest. And you know what? Sometimes we forget these things. You and I need to take heed to these same scriptures, as Paul himself taught over in the book of Romans chapter 12. Make a note of this just a minute. Romans chapter 12. I want you to listen to these verses. He said, verses 18 through 21. Romans 12, 18 through 21. He said, if it be possible. And what that means is, look for an opportunity. Okay? We sometimes look at things and we say, well, it's just impossible to help these people. It's not impossible if we're looking for an opportunity to do it. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head, but be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know what it sounds to me like? Paul had the scriptures in mind. And he used the Old Testament scriptures to do that. And folks, those scriptures still work for us today. Listen, the natural man, the old flesh, just wants to whoop them. They just want to whoop them. This guy I was talking to yesterday, he said, if I find out the person that he knew that had been causing some trouble in his life, he said, if I find out that he's done something like this, I'm going to go to his house and y'all can just call the police because I'm going to kill him. And I said, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't need to be thinking that way. You don't need to be thinking that way. Listen, we do get frustrated in this life. But if you'll remember, he said there, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. That's Proverbs chapter 20, verses 22. We got to wait on the Lord, folks. Now, I say all that today to get you pumped up for the lesson today. God's eyes are on everything that you and I do. He not only sees what we do, but he sees why we do it. He sees why we do it. Listen, yesterday we had a busy day, and then I had this other situations I had going on yesterday, and man, it was just a crazy day. But it was a blessed day. We had a great day together. And I thought, as all those deaf folks are sitting there at our house, I had them back in the back. I was the chef yesterday. I was Chef Boyardee. And I was cooking hamburgers and hot dogs. And somebody had told me some of the folks wanted cheeseburgers. And so I was putting cheese on there. And without thinking, okay, I'm flipping everything over, got cheese on them, and I yell out, "The cheeseburgers are ready!" And nobody moved. First thing that went through my mind was, I didn't yell loud enough. And those bless their hearts, they just didn't hear it. They couldn't hear it. And so I told my wife, I said, "Tell them the cheeseburgers are ready." And she signed it out, "The cheeseburgers are ready." And I told her, I said, "You know what? I've just had a good time with this today." We went out walking through the woods and things like that and just enjoying the time with them. But you know what? God is watching everything we do and why we do what we do. Why do we do what we do? Because we love the brethren. Because we love the Lord. Because we're thankful for what God did for us. And we want to share that same love with somebody else. It was late when we were getting done. I was cleaning the grill and all this other stuff. And I thought, man, thank you, Lord. I got a clean grill. We can do this again sometime. Amen. And some of you may call and say, Brother Ray, when we come over to your house for a hamburger, you call me, let me know. We'll get some hamburgers and we'll fix them up out there, okay? Precious even loved them yesterday. Oh, she loved it. Marty Whitten was there yesterday, and she told me yesterday, she signed it to me, she said, if you ever get tired of her, I'll take her home with me. And one of the folks kept calling her treasure instead of precious. And I said, well, she is a treasure, but she is precious, okay? All right? But God is watching. And if you'll remember, last week, we looked at several little short verses. One of them there in verse number 16 said this. It said, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Stop me making people think you're sad because you got saved. And just rejoice evermore. Most of the time when folks come to me and they ask me, Brother Ray, how you doing today? I usually say two words. Or three words. That's three words. Saved by grace. You know what? Because no matter what happens in my life, I am still saved by grace. I'm still saved. He said, rejoice evermore. But then look at verse 17. He commanded them, he said, then pray without ceasing. You remember I told you last week when I used to call Lisa. And I'd call her house and be talking to her on the phone. And we'd talk and say what we got to say in about 30 seconds. And then didn't have anything else to say. But just to know she was on the other end of the line was good for me. Amen. And you know what? You get to talking to God in the morning and you get to talking to him all during the day. And you know that he's on the line. Listen, keep the line open. Pray without ceasing. And in verse 18, he said this. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. When I was sick with COVID, it burdened me because I was there at the COVID center downtown Baltimore, and I'd see them bringing folks in like they brought me in. And I also saw them taking folks out like what I was praying they wouldn't take me out like. And you say, man, what do you do in that situation? You give God thanks. You give him thanks in everything. You know what? Not one person I talked to there at the COVID center, not one refused the gospel tract. And I had a pocket full. I gave them all out. I called my wife. She called Brother Buck Bowers. Where's he at? Right there. Brother Buck. He said, I know where that place is at. I'll take it down there. He brought me my New Testament. And he brought me a big old stack of tracts. And had to leave it at the security place there. And the security had to check the bag, make sure there was nothing in there bad and all this stuff. And the doctor, the lady doctor, brought those things to me. She said, security brought this up and said to get this to you. Had a chance to witness her. And she said, yes, sir, I know Christ is my Savior. You feel free to give these tracts out to anybody you want to. And man, I was giving them out everywhere. And I got to win one of the guys that was there. It was a homeless guy. And they were sending him out to a hotel. They had a hotel section there where when they came out from the COVID center, if you didn't have a place to go, they put you up in a hotel for another 10 days, 14 days, something like that. And he was one of the ones going to put in there. And I had the opportunity to lead him to Christ. And you know what? You give God the thanks in everything. Give God the thanks. Why? Because notice what the verse goes on to tell us there. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know what? As a parent, I want my children to be thankful for what we've done for them. What we taught them, how we've tried to supply things for them. The boys, as host parents, we pray that they are always thankful for what we've done for them. Andrew got a new car this week. He sold off his little Honda, and he bought a Mercedes. Now, granted, it wasn't new. It was used, but to him, man, he was a big thing. You know, he bought him a big, and he called and asked. He said, can I come home? That's what he says. Can I come home so you could take me up there and get that car? I said, yeah, come on home. And you know what? Would that be a burden? It could be, if you looked at it as a burden. But we didn't take those students for it to be a burden. We took these students in to be a blessing to them. I couldn't go to China, but God could send China to us. And we've had several students there, and yes, it does get on your nerves sometimes. Just like any child gets on your nerves. But you know what? Listen. What God did was turn it into a blessing. And God wants us to be willing to give thanks. They came up, he hugged me and thanked me for taking them and all this stuff. And, you know, when they came back in from China, we'd pick them up at the airport and all this stuff and drive all the way down and pick them up. And first thing they do, they hug us. And, you know, that means more than anything else in the world. It means more than anything. In everything, give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning. God wants his children to be thankful. And child of God today, listen, we need to live thankful lives today. We need to live thankful lives. If we're not willing to give God the thanks for the big things, how are you ever going to learn to live and thank him for the little things? And you know what? It's the little things that count. Man, I got to get on with the lesson. Quench not the spirit. Okay, that's what he talked about last week. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings and preaching. He said, prove all things which are good. Hold fast to that which is good. And he went down there through all these things so that when we got to this next epistle, somebody had told them that Jesus had already returned. I had a man call me on the phone this week. And he told me that he watched last Sunday in church as folks were being raptured out of the church. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm still here. And I asked him, I said, well, you're still here. Is there a reason? You know, I need to come by and talk to you about it. And I said, come on. He didn't show up Thursday or Friday. I don't know what the situation is yet. I'm waiting for him to come in on Tuesday, but it may be an opportunity to lead this fellow to Christ. Maybe God was showing him something. I don't know. But you know what? We got to be ready for this. And in this epistle that we've got here, people had written a false letter and signed Paul's name to it, that Christ had already returned. Man, they had been left here. All the things that had been taught were not right and all these other things. Listen, just looking around us, I know that the Bible is true. And you want one word that can prove that God is real and the Bible is true? I'll give you one word. Jew. I'll give you two words. The Jews. Everything that we're seeing that's happening in our world today revolves around that one tiny little nation called Israel. Everything. All the arms things that's going on, all the trade stuff that's going on, everything is revolving all around that one little nation. And if you'll look at that one little nation and all the other nations around them, they're all Islamic. They're all Abraham's children by Hagar. But they're not the chosen ones. The rest of the world knows this stuff, and we reject it. But you want to know that the Bible is true? Look at Israel. Look at the Jews. And everything that we see there, that's God's little thermometer. And honey, it's rising up to the boiling point. And buddy, when it gets to that point, we're out of here. We're out of here. What a day that's going to be. Paul talks about this here. And in our lesson today, my prayer is that this second book to the Thessalonian believers would encourage us. It would help us to become more watchful and more obedient as servants of the Lord as that day approaches. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Don't let the devil get you messed up. Listen. Let's look at this thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, good night, verses 1 and 2. Here we see Paul's prescript, his rules for living, okay? As we saw in this first letter, to the Thessalonian church, Paul exhorted them now as new and ever-growing believers. He exhorted them to live holy lives before the Lord. Both for the Lord and before the Lord, in front of Him, in front of those around them, to be an effective witness to those that are lost. Let me turn my phone off. Good night. Been one of those mornings. Reminded everybody, didn't it? Paul wanted them to be an effective witness, both to those that were saved around them as encouragement to other believers, but also to those that were still lost and questioning things. They were looking for answers. And these folks had the answer, but they had to be willing to proclaim it. Folks, you and I have the answer today in God's Word. What we need, what the world needs. But somebody's got to proclaim it. We got to live it. We got to proclaim it. You can't live for the Lord and shout and carry on Sunday and then go back home and cuss like a sailor on Monday. It's not going to, the world's going to look at them and say, well, man, they don't have anything different than what I got. We are to be different. And now he writes to these same believers a second letter, a second epistle, to help straighten out some things that had been written by others in his name. Okay? In his name. This letter had evidently had produced a lot of questions and a lot of concerns for these newborn babes in Christ. And we're going to see later in this second epistle, in the later chapters, we're going to see here how that Paul's going to denounce any and all false teachings that were given out in his name, and that the Lord had already returned, and that these believers were now living in the terrible time of the great tribulation. Listen, Jesus said, if you live for Him, you're going to suffer tribulation. We're going to have that. But that is not the great tribulation upon this world that's coming. That's not the same. It's not the same. And again now, in this second letter, he's going to remind them of what he'd already taught them. And he's going to go back and he's going to show these things unto them. So I want you to look here in verses 1 and 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I want you to see how he's going to share with them in the first few verses here some words of encouragement. He said, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to get in that church anyway, that born-again body of believers is through Christ. He said, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, what is he doing? He's reminding them of their position as born-again believers in God their Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Honey, listen, I got a little penny in my pocket right here, and I'm not worth a whole lot. Before I got saved, I wasn't worth a penny. But when I got saved, I was placed in the hand of my Savior. John chapter 10 talks about it, how that we are in His hand, and the devil cannot pluck us out of His hand. And he goes on to say how that we're not only in the hand of our Savior, but we're also in the hand of God, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know what? That looks pretty safe to me, amen? And honey, to know that we are in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father, and man, He's got everything in control, that makes it worth it all. I picked up that penny in the parking lot. Not here. If I find it here, I put it in the offering. But if I find it anywhere else, I keep it. Amen. I figure it's some of you tightwads that's dropped it out there, and I'll just go ahead and throw it in the offering for you, okay? All right? I'll get your tithe out of you one way or another, okay? But you know what? I keep these, and I got bucket loads of pennies that nobody wants. They look in the parking lot, and they see pennies laying on the ground. Now I'm even finding nickels and dimes and quarters that people just leave it laying there. Man, I don't. I make a nosedive. You know, I get it. It gives me enough to give my wife an allowance each week. Amen? Listen. And I save those things. You know why? Because I remember a day as a 15 and a half year old young man. And I was worth nothing to anybody, it seemed like. And yet God reached down and he picked me up out of the muck and mire of this old world. And he placed me in his hand. And his father said, I got you too, son. The devil can't have you no more. Amen. I belong to him. He's mine and I'm his. Thank God for that fact. And those had to be encouraging words to these folks. But look at this. He also gave praise to them for their growth. Look at verses 3 and 4. We see Paul's praise for their spiritual growth. He said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. He said, God has made a difference in your life, and you're letting folks see the difference. Man, he was praising them. What a blessing it must have been to see these folks grow in their love, not only for the Lord, but for one another. When there were needs in the body of believers, they ministered to one another. They encouraged one another. They strengthened one another. Listen, is that not what Jesus commanded his disciples back before he went to the cross? He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And that would be a testimony to those folks around them that they really were children of God. That was a testimony. But listen, he also praised them for their patience in the midst of troubles and trials. Look at verse number 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. You know what? They were enduring some troubling times, but they didn't give up on God. How many times have we seen folks go through heartaches and trials and burdens in their lives, and they get mad at God and they quit? They stop serving the Lord. They quit going to church. They turn their back on God and feel like, oh, God, you've just treated me wrong. No, God's trying to get you to a point that you'll look up and seek his help. And thank him for leading you in that direction. Listen, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God led them through the wild and wicked wilderness. He could have led them through the land of the Philistines and all, because that was easier. But they weren't ready for battle. They weren't ready for the wars and the trials and things that they're going to suffer going that way. So God led them through the wilderness, and he supplied their needs every which way they went. And God does the same thing with us sometimes. And so Paul is praising them for their patience in the midst of trials and troubles. Then look at verse 5. We see Paul's pronouncement of encouragement to them. Look at it. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Listen, Paul encouraged them here by stating the fact that through their many persecutions, their many trials and sufferings, it encouraged them, and God was proving to them the fact that they belonged to him and not to the world. Listen, if the world loves you and you love the world, they're not going to bother you. But you know what? Every time the devil throws up his old stinking head and has somebody persecute you or bother you or cause you headache and heartache, you know right then that you are not what you used to be. And it's all because of Jesus. Amen. Listen, if the world loved you, you need to be worried about that. If the world loves you and boy, it thinks the best of you, man, there's something wrong with that. But here, he was trying to encourage them, let them know that, listen, there's been a difference in your life. And that's what the world doesn't like. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Then look in verses 6 through 10. He gives his explanation here that God's judgment is coming upon their persecutors. Folks, never forget, God's eyes are on the sparrow. If God watches over a sparrow, and ye are worth many more sparrows, Listen, he's got his eyes on you. And he's got his eyes on those folks that are hurting you and causing you problems and causing you heartaches and troubles. And listen, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Paul explains how that God will indeed deal with both the persecutors as well as those being persecuted. You and I that are persecuted, he'll send the blessing. Don't you worry about that. He'll take care of you. But one day he's going to take care of those other folks too. And buddy, his desire is that they all be saved. But many of these folks have already turned over to a reprobate mind. And God is aware of it. Look at verse 7. He reminds them that God's justice is indeed guaranteed for those who are persecuted. Listen, don't think that God has forgotten you today. Don't think that God has forsaken you because you're having to go through some heartaches and trials and tribulations right now. God's not forgotten you. Look at what he said here in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. One day, God's going to indeed give perfect rest. He's going to give perfect peace to those of us who know him and have been so hated by the world, so persecuted by those that hate God for our faith in Christ. That word rest, it refers to an everlasting relief. An everlasting relief from all tensions and heartaches. And that day is going to come when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Man, what a day that's going to be. Amen. What a day that's going to be. Now look at verses 8 and 9. Paul then explains that judgment is also coming unto all unbelievers. Folks, we need to be mindful of this today. If I had a worst enemy, and I don't know that I do other than the devil, but if I had a worst enemy on this earth, I would not want anybody to have to be separated from God for all eternity and spend eternity in the flames of hell. I would not want that. But folks that do not believe, the Bible said here in verses 8 and 9, in flaming fire, God's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Can you imagine how awful that's going to be one day? I don't want anybody to have to go through that. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay faithful to tell folks about Jesus. Listen, the family members that make fun and laugh and mock, I'm going to still tell them about Jesus. Because one day, they're going to face death. They're going to face sickness. They're going to face those trials that's going to bring them to the fact of reality that they're going to stand in eternity one day. And they're going to need somebody that can point them to the right direction. Stay faithful. And look at their punishment. He explains it in verse number 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That everlasting means it lasts forever. I got burned on the grill yesterday. I flipped a burger over and it slid down between the grill and the fire. I lost that burger. Now, two things happened. Number one, it popped grease up on my thumb across there, and man, that hurt. But that burger was lost forever until the fire was put out. Now, I put the fire out yesterday, turned it all off, and when I reached down there to get that thing, it was hard as a rock. It was burned to a crisp. And it was not worth eating. Okay? But can you imagine what it's going to be like for somebody that spends eternity? Now, that hurt me. I mean, it still hurts some this morning when that grease popped up on my thumb. But I'm not talking about just my thumb. I'm talking about my whole hand, my arm, my body, everything. And not hurting for just a few moments, a day or so. I'm talking about forever, everlasting flames. And think about this. The psalmist David said, there's nowhere that we can go that the presence of God is not there. But Paul tells us, hey, there is a place called hell. They're totally away from the presence of God. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Can you imagine? I wouldn't want that to happen to anybody. But then look at verses 11 and 12. We see Paul's prayer for the persecuted. He said, Wherefore also we pray for you. Let me get this right. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of His calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith in power. Listen, Paul knew what the future held for these folks. And knowing what the future held for these folks that were both persecuting God's children and the persecuted children of God, he writes here to let them know how that he's still praying for them and that they would remain steadfast, unmovable, faithful until the Lord Jesus took them home. Why? He said, so that our God would count you worthy of His calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. You know what that's telling me? God has a plan for you and for me. He wants us to be found faithful. He wants us to be willing to love Him no matter what the situation. And as we do, He is faithful to fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. You know, it's amazing to both see and know the wonderful grace of God and how it is able to sustain the weary soul. He's able to sustain us. Every child of God, He's willing to do that for one purpose. What is that purpose? So that we might walk worthy of our calling. He has saved us. Look at verse 12. Paul wanted these dear saints of God to understand that their faithfulness to God and their actions of obedience toward God would come only as a result of God's working power in them. You know what he said? He said, you can't do this on your own. You can't do it on your own. You've got to have the Spirit of God. No wonder he said last week, quench not the Spirit. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks so that we could have the power of God. Look, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, what a joy it is for every child of God to be able to glorify God as He deserves to be glorified. God deserves our glory today, folks. His eyes never leave the radar screen of your life. He's ever watching. He knows, but He's there to give you the strength to go on. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop serving God. Don't let the devil get you down. Child of God, remember, nothing escapes God's radar, both in your lives and in the lives of those that are bringing persecution upon you. It's going to be a sad day for them, but it's going to be a glorious day for you and for me. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank You for loving us. Man, I just get to thinking about this, how that You never take Your eyes off Your children. You're always there to lead us, guide us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. God, help us, Lord, to be willing to trust You and to obey You and to live so that others might know that You are really real in our lives. Help us, God, to be found faithful. Help us, Lord, to remember that there's nothing, God, that escapes Your radar screen and Your eyes are always upon us. Lord, if there be someone today listening to the sound of my voice that's never been saved, draw them unto Yourself today and save them before it's eternally too late. And God, we'll thank You for what You do. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today, folks. God bless you. Thank you for being in class.